Podcast 25, Prayer and Great Expectations. And the scripture focus for this podcast is Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 to 25. Today, I want to talk to you about prayer and expectations and how these two elements interact with each other. Some of these thoughts are taken from Pete Greig's book, God on Mute, which is in the church library and which I highly recommend. Expectations are funny things. Usually the trouble starts when what is expected is not communicated or not fulfilled. Recently on the internet, I was reading a story about expectations, which makes this point. A young photographer had been assigned by his editor to get some aerial photos of bushfires that were raging near the city. This was a rush job. The photos were due to be put on the front page of the evening edition, so there was no time to waste. The taxi was waiting and an aircraft had been chartered, so the photographer gathered up his camera bag, jumped in the taxi, and was driven at speed out to the airport. As the taxi drew up to the charter flight's hangar, a plane was waiting with the propellers starting to turn and the door open. The photographer jumped up the steps, pulled the door shut, sat beside the young pilot and said, "Let's go, let's go." The pilot got clearance from the tower, turned into the wind, and took off. As they gained altitude, the photographer said, "When we get close to the bushfires, I want you to do a slow pass at around 700 feet with left wing down." The pilot looked puzzled and after a moment's pause said, "Why? Why would we do that?" The photographer said, "Because I need these shots for tonight's edition of the paper." There was a long pause. And then the pilot said, "So you're not my flight instructor, are you?" The pilot expected a flight instructor. The photographer expected a charter plane ready to take off. Given their respective expectations, it's easy to see how this mismatch of purposes happened. So how does this relate to prayer? Well, first of all, I guess we have to consider what is prayer and how we define it. Last week in the sermon on prayer, we agreed a simple definition of prayer was talking to God. And then I shared a quote from Joyce Meyer, who reminded us that prayer is not only talking to God, but also listening to God. So what do we do if God doesn't seem to be listening to our prayers? If God is on mute? We may have expectations that God will answer our prayers in a particular way. Now, this is probably not too much of a problem if what we're praying for is relatively trivial. For example, a convenient parking space when we drive into town. But what if it's a big stakes item, like healing for a loved one who's suffering from a really serious illness? Or a job after a long period of being without work, or someone who will be the right person to be your life partner. When our expectations of how God should answer our prayer are disrupted with these big stakes items, there is usually considerable fallout. My observation of myself and others going through this process is that it's a grieving process, quite similar to a personal tragedy or even a death in the family. If we look at the example from the Old Testament reading of Daniel 3, we can see in this particular story a lesson about prayer and expectations. Most of you will be familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we heard the main part of the story in our lesson reading today. These three Jews refused to bow down to the golden idol constructed by King Nebuchadnezzar, and so are threatened with being burnt alive in a fiery furnace. Listen to their reply in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If the God we serve is able to deliver us, then he will deliver us from the blazing furnace and from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, We want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Notice what these young men say. Firstly, they believe God is able to save them. Secondly, they believe he is willing to intervene miraculously on their behalf, declaring he will deliver us from the blazing furnace. Now remember, this is big stakes stuff. These young men are facing a horrible death, being burnt alive. But notice what they go on to say. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods. In the first part of the speech, we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have faith for a miracle, and this is impressive. But as well as that, they have the faith to endure suffering should the miracle not happen. Now, does Jesus have the experience of struggling with expectations and prayer? I believe he does, and most notably and obviously in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. According to Matthew's account, he prays three times, "My Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me." Jesus' hope and expectation is that God is able and willing to find another way to accomplish the salvation of mankind, which does not involve his suffering and death. After all, God is God. Nothing is impossible for him. But Jesus goes on to finish that prayer, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Not what I would like to happen or what I would expect to happen, but I surrender to what your divine will and purpose demands. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus believes God the Father is able to save him and is willing to intervene miraculously on his behalf. But as well as that, Jesus has the faith to go forward and endure the suffering to come if that miracle does not occur. And as we know, unlike the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there is no miraculous deliverance for Jesus from the cross. So to conclude, for us as Christians, what does this mean? I think it means three things. Firstly, sometimes our prayers are not answered the way we expect or think they should be answered, partly because our understanding and expectations of God are just plain wrong. For as Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Secondly, we Christians insist that miracles are possible on the basis of the record of the Old and New Testaments and on our own experience, in our own contemporary experience, where we have seen miracles for ourselves. And thirdly, we believe in God and trust in God, and we do this even more than we believe in God's ability to do a miracle. Even if our prayers do not seem to be answered, and we are plunged into a fiery furnace of suffering, we will continue to walk with God and trust God.